CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... philosopher. Some people have taken this literally. When Bluebeard, for example, lost interest in a wife, the poor lady would lose her life. Another dangerous man to be married to was Henry VIII, although he was not nearly as bloodthirsty as most people think. He only killed two of his six wives. Two he divorced, one died in childbirth, and the last one outlived him. But sometimes the shoe, or we should say the slipper, was on the other foot or leg. There were also some ladies who were quite adept at getting rid of boring husbands and inconvenient lovers.
Shall you inspect the accounts, my lord?
Why?
To report to the king?
I'm sure that they're in order. Aren't they?
Yes.
Well, then why bother?
Oh, thank you, my lord. And I would like to give you the usual present for your cooperation.
May I choose my own present?
Speak. Anything at all.
In your household is a woman.
One of my slave girls?
No.
One of my concubines?
No.
Who, then?
Your wife.
Our mystery drama, Only a Woman, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Russell Horton and Marion Seldes. I'll be back shortly with Act One. The present is a moment in time which pauses briefly and then is gone. It is all we can do to recapture the history that occurred during our own lifetimes. History which is amply documented and to which we have been eyewitness. How then can we make sense of those people, times, and events when myth was the basis for fact? And history was written by the hired scribes of the mighty. But are things that much different today? Many thousands of years ago, there was an Assyrian scribe named Adamalek. He was summoned to the palace of the mightiest queen in history, Semiramis.
My name is Adamalek. I curse the day I learned how to write. I could have followed my father into the counting house, or my brother into the army, but no, I had to learn to... Well, I'm not dead yet. Everyone says I'm honored to be chosen as scribe by the mighty queen.
You are...
I am Adamalek, empress of the earth, goddess of our world, font of all wisdom, paragon of all virtue, whose radiant beauty shadows the sun.
And you are the scribe?
Yes.
Approach. Nana, closer. And have a better look. Good. I see you have with you the implements of your profession. Sit. Well?
Your magnificence, in your presence...
Oh, sit and be silent. Now then, to begin. Semiramis, great and powerful queen of Assyria, Babylon, and all the regions, appointed ruler of the greatest gods, guardian of right, lover of justice, maker of peace, do you comprehend what I wish to say?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Well, then fill in the rest in the tablet. And I expect some originality. I'm sick to death of being called a lioness and so forth. Understand?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Right. So that my name and my deeds shall be known and worshipped till the end of time, I shall set down the story of my life.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Well, then let's begin. Write as I instruct. My mother was our goddess, Dagon, who fell in love with a mortal man, my father. In anger, she killed her lover, and in remorse, threw herself into the river. where she was transformed into a fish, which is why to this day our people eat no fish, in my mother's honor. Have you so written?
Yes, Your Majesty.
I was left to die an infant in the wilderness. But hear this wonder. A flock of pigeons nestled near me, kept me warm with their wings, and fed me with cheeses stolen from the neighboring herdsmen and shepherds. What is your name, scribe?
Adam Malik, if it pleases Your Majesty.
Yes. Yes, it pleases me. Very much. Adar Malik.
I lowered my head quickly, but I had already seen the soft light in her eyes. That soft light. They'd warned me about it. Later, that soft light would be replaced by one harder and sharper than the keenest blade of steel. Later, after she had taken pleasure from him, she would dismiss her lover with a gift of jewels and money. But as he stepped outside the palace door, 50 spears were waiting to pierce his chest.
And then one day, the shepherds found me, and they brought me to the house of the overseer of the king's flocks and herds, a man named Sima, who first raised me as a daughter, and then took me for his wife.
Well, and whom have we here? Who is this vision of beauty and delight?
I am Semiramis.
Semiramis. Even the name is beautiful. Beloved of the doves.
I was raised by the doves.
I can well believe it. Do you know who I am?
But you are Menelaus, superintendent of the king's household.
And who are you, my Semiramis?
I am not yours, Semiramis.
Whose are you?
I am the wife of Sima, the overseer of the king's shepherds.
But Sima is an old man.
He's good to me.
Indeed. Come here. Closer. Now, close your eyes.
For what reason?
Or keep them open. Some ladies kiss one way, some the other.
It is the same with men. Which are you?
That you must find out for yourself. Is your husband that good to you?
No. Were your eyes open or closed?
Didn't you notice?
I forgot.
So did I.
I shall prepare my husband for your arrival.
Gently.
I am always gentle.
Some wine, great Menon.
Thank you.
Shall you pour, my dearest?
At once, my darling.
Yeah, I shall have the tablets brought in.
The tablets?
The accounts. You have come here to review my stewardship of the king's flocks and herds.
Of course.
Unless you would rather see them in the morning.
I would rather not see them at all.
But you have come all this distance.
Why must I be subjected to tablet after tiresome tablet filled with all sorts of bothersome figures? I am sure everything is in perfect order.
Oh, it is, it is.
There, you see? We agree.
And, when you leave, the usual present for your thoughtfulness and cooperation will be ready for you.
I am sure you're as generous this year as ever.
It has been a very good year. The gods have been kind.
My good Sima, may I choose my own present?
Speak.
I have seen in your household my heart's desire.
Anything I have is yours.
Then, I ask for a woman.
One of my slave girls?
No.
One of my concubines?
No.
Who, then?
Your wife.
My wife? No.
No? And why not?
Why not?
My position entitles me to a present. Had I been rapacious, grasping, greedy, I could have driven you to ruin. Instead, what do I ask for? Only a woman.
Well, yes, but
you must admit she is only a woman.
Menon, I beg you.
Enough. Shall I have my servants examine your records?
Shall I count every grain of wheat, every ear of corn, every drop of wine, each heifer, calf, lamb?
Please, do not take her. She is my greatest treasure.
Come, old man. Can you expect one such as she to waste away here in the desert?
She cannot be taken. She can only go freely. Let her decide. Choose. Choose between us, Semiramis.
I? Choose? What am I? Who am I to provoke the wrath of the gods by my presumption? I'm only a woman. I'm only a chattel. A slave. Who am I to be consulted?
Leave her with me, Menon. Take my cattle, my sheep, all my horned beasts, but leave her with me. Take my gold, my silver, my precious pearls, and my rubies, but leave her with me.
I shall not leave her with you, Sima.
Then you must fight.
To draw a blade against the king's steward is to defy the king himself.
Then do I defy him? I shall arm my servants, my people.
You're mad.
Yes, I am mad. She has made me mad for her arms and her kisses. You shall not take her from me. I will fight. I shall fight to the... I cannot live without her. I shall not live without her. I defy you. Oh. Wine. Pour me some wine.
No! Water. I cannot...
Poor fellow. He's dead. It appears to have been a sudden onslaught of apoplexy.
Yes, or it may have been something he had to drink.
Have you written it, Adamalek?
Each and every word, Your Majesty.
Adamalek, tell me, how old are you?
20, Your Magnificence.
Ah, 20. The age of a man's greatest powers. He was 20, my Menon. 20. And so, it passed that Menon took me back with him to his luxurious quarters in the royal palace. I had thought I had seen the riches and comforts in the house of Sima. But what had Sima been? A petty minor official. Compared to Menon, Sima had lived on scraps.
You will learn to play, my beloved.
Yes, I would like that.
And to sing, and to dance, and to dress in silks. These are silks.
Oh, soft. How beautiful. I never knew there were such wonders in the world. I never even knew there was a world.
Oh, yes. There is a world, a great and marvelous world. In it are many strange men and beasts and riches. Ah, this world, it is there for the taking.
Yes?
And those who are wise and bold will take it.
From those who are stupid and cowardly?
Therefore, one must learn to become wise and bold.
But how can these things be done, Menon? Teach me. I must know.
Teach you? Yes. I can see you would make a most successful pupil. Perhaps I should forget the business and keep you shut up in my garden.
Why?
Well, it happens sometimes that a pupil may better the master.
Oh, who could ever hope to excel you in wisdom, Menon? You are the most brilliant of all living men. And besides, I am only a woman.
He was wise, that Menon. Beyond his years. And all I have learned about the ways of men and women, I've learned from him. But now, let us talk about what occurred during the war against the Bactrians. Menon, my husband, being away at the camp and lonely without me, had brought me to his tent. But we were not permitted to dally for long. The Bactrians attacked, and soon we were giving way. And it was then that I picked up a sword, rushed from the tent, and shouted at the fleeing soldiers. The sight of a woman must have stunned them. For just a moment, they all stood still. Follow me! Follow me to victory! Victory! Gave way before the assault, and we slaughtered them by the thousands. The entire camp was talking about Semiramis. And soon, there appeared a quiet man
in clothing of the richest cloth. Everyone kneeled. It was King Nineveh himself, builder of our great city of Nineveh.
You are Semiramis.
Illustrious ruler of the earth, center of the universe. I am Semiramis.
Yes. I was told that a warrior goddess appeared at just the right moment to save the day for my army. But you do not look like a goddess of war. No. I would say you look like a goddess of love.
And I would say that history may just about be getting ready to repeat itself. A trick that history does all the time. Although some claim it is not history that repeats itself, it is we who repeat ourselves. However the mechanics of the thing, there is really very little that's new under the sun. And we may have another change of partners as early as Act Two. The history of the world is essentially the story of a handful of men and women movers and shakers and dreamers. All we can ever know about the past is what we've been told. Therefore, from a practical point of view, history really belongs to the man or the woman who writes it, or can have it written. More than 3,000 years ago, they say there was a queen named Semiramis.
I am Adam Malik, the scribe, and I am not interested in history or posterity. My problem, my serious problem, my only problem, is the amorous passion of my queen Semiramis. That is, I must not arouse it. For the pattern is established and the custom is set. Pleasure in the night is followed by death in the morning.
And thus, my Adam Malik, you will write of the encounter between King Nineveh and me.
Yes, my queen.
Ah, what were the exact words? Yes, I remember now. He said...
Were you sent here by Ishtar herself to grace our camp?
Oh, no, illustrious ruler of the universe. I was brought here by my husband.
Well, there is a husband. Whom have the gods blessed with such a gift of beauty and delight?
Menon.
Menon?
Superintendent of the mighty king's household.
My steward, Menon. He never told me he'd taken a new wife. Oh, no, who can blame the scoundrel? Had I such a mate, I too would keep her to myself. Let Menon come forward.
Lord of the world.
And tell us, where did you find this pearl beyond price?
In the desert, illustrious majesty.
Impossible. How can there be desert where this divine one walks? The light of her smile makes flowers bloom and sparkling waters spring forth from the rocks.
And so after that speech, King Ninus waited. Do you know what he waited for, my Adam Malik? Well, speak. You have a beautiful voice. I'm charmed by it. Do you know what the king waited for?
No, most magnificent queen.
For the proper gesture on Menon's part. Because you see, little one, when the king gives extravagant praise to one of your possessions, it is the sign that he wants it. Or her. And so Menon was thus obligated to say, Your Majesty, take her. She is yours. But he stood silent and said nothing. And I wondered what Ninus would do. There are kings who would have signaled their spearmen to skewer Menon on the spot. But Ninus was a man of great kindness. And after a few more silent moments, he said...
You say you found her in the desert, Menon?
Yes, King of Kings.
Are there any more like her in that same place?
I do not know, Your Majesty.
Well, then, you must go and find out. If another such exists, bring her to me.
Your Majesty, I'll
return to that desert. Seek, inquire.
But, sire, we're at war. My place is here on the field of battle.
Your place is wherever your king may send you. Go.
Fortunate Menon. Well, then did King Ennis speak to me as we drank wine together in the magnificent imperial quarter.
I have never met anyone like you before.
I'm only a woman.
You are also a goddess.
My mother was a goddess.
I have never seen my army fight so valiantly before. You have given the army something new. Spirit. With you by my side, I could conquer the world.
But Assyria has already conquered the world.
The world? The world is without end.
Well, surely it must end somewhere.
Perhaps. But it would take forever to get there.
Forever?
It is so far away that if one were to start walking from here to the edge of the world, one would have to live forever.
A goddess lives forever?
I also want to live forever.
Well, for that gift, one must ask the gods.
Now, I don't know any of the gods, so I can't ask them. But I can ask you.
Me?
Yes, Semiramis. You.
How?
Immortalize me with your love.
My love?
Yes. Only love endures. Love me, Semiramis. Together, we shall lead conquering armies to the very edge of the world.
Where is the edge of the world?
Who can say? None have gone there and returned. Perhaps it does not even exist. But on the way, there are cities for conquest. There are mountains of gold and silver and precious stones. Shall we find the edge of the world? Together.
Yes, and we shall own all the treasures of the world.
We shall possess the world and everything and everyone on it.
And thus we talked together and spent the pleasant days together. And then one night as I slept in my tent.
Beloved. Beloved.
Who called?
It is I.
Who?
Menon.
What news have you for the king?
None.
Well, then what would you say to him?
Nothing.
Then why did you... Oh, then surely you understand. He meant for you
but
to...
The king does not know, and he must not know that I have returned.
Then why are you here?
I have come back for you.
Me?
The king wants you. He means to have you. He'll take you from me just as I took you from Cinna. Surely you understand this.
Yes.
But you love me, Semiramis. Say you love me.
I love you.
Then you must come with me.
Where?
To a place where the king will not be able to find us.
Is there such a place?
If you stay here, you will belong to the king.
I know.
But you just said that you loved me.
I do.
Then how can you go with the king?
I also love the king.
You cannot love both of us.
Why not? Didn't I also love Sima? I love all three of you. Each of you had something to give me, to teach me.
A woman can only love one man.
I am a goddess. I can love all men.
No. Let us put an end to this nonsense. You are flesh and blood. You are human. You are a mortal woman. You are not a goddess.
I shall become a goddess.
You cannot, because there are no goddesses. There are no gods. They exist only in the minds of men.
Oh, my poor Menon.
We built their statues, but that's all they are. Figures, lifeless lumps of stone.
You have become mad.
Yes. This love for you has driven me to madness. For love of you, I will defy my king.
I love you, Menon, and therefore I will save your life. Leave here. You will be overheard, and the king shall be told you have returned. Leave, now.
We shall leave together. I shall take you away.
Yes, Menon, but first, sit.
Let us leave now, while the king sleeps.
No, sit here beside me. You've been away so long, and you haven't even embraced me yet.
Oh, Semiramis, my beloved.
You see, it's been such a difficult journey, and you're tired, and you're worn. Here.
drink.
You must be thirsty.
Oh, yes.
There.
I have found a place for you and me in the desert.
The desert?
Where none shall ever find us. The two of us, just the two of us, shall be alone forever.
Alone in the desert? The empty desert? Oh, no, no, no. I've spent all my life in the desert, and I know the magic spell that can be woven by the moon and the stars and the stillness. But after, the spell is gone, and one becomes bored. So bored. No, we shall stay here.
But we cannot stay here.
Yes, we can, if we accept reality, which is that I must become the wife of the king.
Oh, what are you saying?
That I shall become the wife of the king.
No. No, never. I shall never permit it.
Think on what I have said, and you may see reason in the morning.
I am your husband. You cannot dismiss me. Remember, you are only a woman.
Yes, my lord. And now, shall you leave?
I said I shall not leave here alone.
Poor fool. Go.
If you will not come with me, you will go with no one.
Like Simmer, you also draw your blade.
Like Simmer. Like Simmer. Look. Look at what you have done to me. You have made me ridiculous. What an evil and poisonous love.
Then renounce it.
I cannot. Like Simmer, I cannot live without
you. You will have to.
I know now what I must do. I must kill you, and then myself.
Very well, strike.
Semiramis, please.
Well, why do you wait?
I shall wait no longer. I'm going to kill you.
Yes?
Where are you?
Here.
I can't see. My head, it's on fire. Oh, my eyes. Where are you? Give me a drink. Wine, water, quickly. Ah, I'm on fire, Semiramis. On fire. Semiramis, I heard a noise in here.
It was nothing. Nothing at all, my beloved Linus.
Why, it's Linus.
Yes, Lord, it's Linus.
He's returned?
No, he's gone away.
Oh, I see. Poor Lennon.
Yes, poor Lennon.
His face is red. There's foam still on his mouth. He must have died of epilepsy.
Or it may have been something he had to drink.
The literary term for it is déjà vu. It's when you get the feeling you've been there before. And we have. From all indications, you may be going there again. After all, there is a third act. And at the rate this lady goes through lovers, anything and everything can happen. At those massive statues of stone which were carved thousands of years ago in another time, in another world, by people long dead and gone. How many forgotten empires, how many lost cities have there been since the beginning of time? Those bearded men, those brooding women, those silent people, they were our ancestors. Traces of them can be found in us. In our speech, our manners, our customs, and our blood. What had you written yesterday on your tablets, little Adamalek?
The death of Menon.
Oh, yes, yes. Ah, poor Menon. Ninus, the king, had entered my tent, and there was Menon, who had just fallen down dead. And, of course, Ninus was filled with sympathy.
He was a true and loyal servant, Menon. We shall give him a great funeral.
The king is most kind to a poor widow.
You shall not remain a widow long.
And indeed, I did not.
There was great feasting and games and celebration at my marriage to Ninus. Never had the city of Nineveh beheld such splendor. And thus I became, at last, a queen. One day I said to my king, Ninus, we must talk, my lord.
Of course, my beloved.
Concerning the army.
Is something amiss with the army?
It is not nearly large enough.
Oh, my dearest, we have ample soldiers to defend the frontiers.
But, beloved, there are not supposed to be any frontiers.
Every nation must have frontiers.
Not ours. We were going to march to the very edge of the world, conquering all the people in our path. Remember?
Oh, yes.
So the army must be increased, and it must be trained, and it must be equipped.
Well, that's quite a task.
I agree. And that is why we must begin as soon as possible.
And we shall?
Well, there's no moment like the present. There's no time like today.
Oh, but today, the sky is so blue, the sun so warm, the breeze is so cool. Come, let us stay in each other's arms, and I shall send for wine and music.
Day after day went by, and all of them were spent in amorous dalliance. Then, finally, it occurred to me that if the army were to be raised and trained and equipped, I would have to raise and train and equip it myself. Halt! Did the saddle slip?
No, mighty queen.
Good. It's the double thickness of the leather. All right, let us now test the metal of the new swords. Spear throwers, the new iron heads are heavier than the bronze, so you must draw your arms back further. Release the catapult. Army, and day by day it became a better, stronger fighting force. And soon I said to King Ninus, my husband, we are ready to march.
March?
I remember, my lord, you said to me, with you by my side, I could conquer the world. Do you remember?
Yes. And I also remember I said the world is without end. It would take forever to march to the edge of it.
And I said, a goddess lives forever.
Oh, but you are not a goddess. You're only a woman.
I'm more than a woman.
Isn't it enough to be just a woman? To know love, to enjoy all the fruits of the earth, everything money can buy, that power can command?
But you said we would go to the edge of the world.
What will we find at the edge of the world that we do not have here?
Gold! Silver!
We already have more gold and silver than we can ever spend, than we can even count. Why must we talk of such things when the moon is so bright, the air so fragrant?
Ninus, we must consider the military situation.
Later.
Later?
Now, let us send for music and dancers and wine.
But we are in danger.
Do not trouble your head with danger, my beloved. After all, you're only a woman.
My king Ninus had changed toward me. From his goddess, I had become his concubine. His first, his favorite, his most beloved, but still his concubine. Are all these words written, Adamalek?
Just as you have spoken them, mighty queen.
No. I shall expect you to have written them better than that. Take the tablet home with you, and then tomorrow, let us see how cleverly you have used your own words. Tomorrow, Adamalek, I am eagerly awaiting tomorrow.
Once again, there was that soft look in her eyes. That soft look which could mean certain death. I realized that tomorrow was the day she planned to make love to me. Not come here tomorrow. But how could I disobey my queen? Where could I go? Where could I hide? Her soldiers could follow me to the very edge of the earth.
And so for weeks, Months I waited, and the army waited, and finally I spoke. My king and army must be used.
These men will be used.
When?
Sooner or later, we shall be attacked. Our wealth has made us many enemies. There are the Egyptians to the south, the wild desert tribes all around us, and to the north, new race of marauders who call themselves Greeks. Oh, have no fear. Our army will not go to waste.
But we must not wait.
And my dearest, I love you. But when we met, we were both victims of illusions. Now I've come to my senses. Oh, you are still haunted by dreams. And I must say, it is beginning to make you somewhat tiresome.
It was at this very moment that suddenly I saw what had to be done. My position as queen, even my life, depended on it. I no longer held him in my powers. What I want you to write at this point, Adamalek, is that my mother, the goddess Dagon, appeared to me and inspired me, you understand?
Yes, magnificent queen.
That night, he did not come to my quarters in the palace. Was he visiting someone else? I could find out easily enough, but it didn't matter. It was now my life or his, my noble lord?
I have come here, Seminarius, to spend a pleasant hour. I want no talk of armies or conquests. Is that understood?
Perfectly, my lord.
Well, then, let there be music.
I have displeased my lord lately.
Yes, you have.
May I find favor in my lord's eyes again? Of what have I been guilty? Only of telling you what you wanted to hear. And now you wish to hear something else. You wish me to be someone else, and you no longer want a goddess, you want a woman, and so I am a woman.
I want a woman who is only a woman. A woman who has no thoughts beyond pleasing her lord.
I am only a woman, my lord.
Splendid. Shall you dance for your master, Semiramis?
Whatever my lord desires. Oh, first let me pour my lord a cup of this wine.
Oh, it sparkles and foams.
Oh, yes, my lord. It's crushed from the grapes of Mount Arbiat, called the Vineyard of the Gods.
Oh, it is a wine fit for the gods.
It is a wine worthy of my king.
And now, dance for me, Semiramis. Dance. Semiramis, more wine. This is truly the nectar of the gods. Oh, how it burns. Semiramis, help me. Oh, I'm on fire.
Musicians, say louder.
Semiramis!
Silence. The king is dead. Long live the queen! Send for my army commanders. Send for the priests to read the favorable omens. We shall march to the edge of the earth. I shall conquer the world! And I... all the world belongs to me. The world of deserts and mountains and fertile plains, the beasts of the field and the fruits and the people. All are mine. One thing alone is missing, and do you know what it is, little Adamalek?
No, magnificent queen.
Must you always look at me as your queen? Is it possible that you don't see me as a woman? Say something, Adamalek.
Your majesty...
No, not majesty, but Semiram. Say it. Say Semiram.
Semiramis.
How beautiful is the sound of my name in your mouth. Look at me, Adamalik, look at me. I am the mistress of the earth. But beckon to me, beloved Adamalik, and I will come to you. Command me. You need only whisper.
I see the light, a soft light. It glows in her eyes. And I know now what fire raced through the veins of Sima and Menon and Minas and so many others. To love her is to die. I should turn away. I should run for my life, but I cannot move. I look into her eyes. I am lost in those eyes.
Tell me to come to you, Adamalik.
And outside the door, the executioner waits. Or perhaps it shall be the poison cup. But those eyes.
Tell me to come to you, beloved. Tell me to come to you.
Come to me, Semiramis. Come to me.
And she did. Later, the executioner struck. Or perhaps it was the wine. We only know that the story ends here. For this has all been written on a cylinder of stone called the Stella of Adamalik. And this is where his narrative ends. But my story doesn't end quite yet. I shall return shortly. Whenever we dramatize an historical event, the question is bound to arise. Is it true? Usually, and surprisingly enough, there is considerable truth. There was an ancient queen named Semiramis. She had many husbands and lovers, and all of them came to grief. She conquered most of the world that was known in those times. And what happened to her? It is said that her son, whose father was the King Ninus of our story, plotted to overthrow her. Some say she was killed. Others say she was turned into a pigeon. Whatever the facts, that was the end of her. Our cast included Russell Horton, Marion Seldes, Norman Rose, and Ray Owens. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Ravenhouse Paperback Mysteries. This is Tommy Grimes, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Production of Mystery Theater, be sure to tell a friend. It's heard on WJW AM 850, Cleveland, Ohio.